Presbyterian Church, whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are glad that you found your way here. You can learn more about how we are church together by taking a look at your bulletin. There are opportunities for worship and fellowship, mission, and learning together. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder at the communion table following worship this morning. Just a few announcements. First, we know that it's a little warm in here today. If you're by a fan, you may have trouble hearing. Kind of goes with the sound factor, but you may be cool, so make your best choice. But Fellowship Hall was not in a condition. We could use it this morning. Hopefully in the future on these hot mornings, we'll be able to worship down there. Please note that next Sunday there will be a congregational meeting following worship, and I believe we have one other announcement.
Good morning. I'm Eric Vail, here representing a whole bunch of people. That includes all of you. Next Sunday, as Melissa said, there will be a congregational meeting after worship. And after worship, we will have a celebration of Melissa's ministry here at GPC. That's going to include a potluck lunch, which I think you've heard about, you've read about. There's a sign-up sheet out on the kiosk, so please sign up if you can come. Also, if you can bring a dish to pass of some sort, let us know that as well. So we can kind of plan for how many people be and how much food to have. So please plan to stick around, sign up, and we will certainly have a celebration. Thanks.
And now let us join our hearts together in a time of worship.
Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. Christ is in our midst. How will you bid him welcome?
To our hearts, we will delight in his presence.
When God shows up, surprising things can happen. We will make ourselves ready. Here we receive the good news. So let us laugh and sing, rest and listen, dance and praise. Let us worship God.
Thank you.
We join our hearts and voices together now in a time of confession. Gracious, inviting God, you continually provide us with opportunities to practice generous hospitality, but our fear of difference, reluctance to share, and desire to be in control make our welcome appear weak and insincere. Because we long for what is familiar and comfortable, we have difficulty honoring the stranger as a sacred guest who bears the face of Christ. Worn out and irritated by the work we think we must do, we miss opportunities to receive the gifts that such guests offer us. Forgive us, O God, for focusing on the wrong things. Show us how to do what is right. The psalmist declares that those who speak the truth from their hearts will abide in God's sanctuary. God hears the difficult truths we have named aloud and in the silence of our hearts. Now let the wonderful gift of God's forgiveness flow through you. May the abundance of God's mercy and grace set us free to serve God with love. And at this time, the children are welcome to come forward.
Good morning. Have a seat, please. Welcome. Come on over. The more the merrier. This week, our junior highs from this church did a work project all around the city of Rochester. And each day, we picked a Bible verse, and we talked about it, and we thought about it, and how it might help us during the day and during our week. And the one I want you to look at is in blue right here. Okay, so check out the blue one if you can read. Go ahead and read it to yourself. If not, I'm going to read it for you. So it's Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. And it's, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Does anyone here know what hospitality means? No guesses? Any guesses? No. It's being friendly and generous. Friendly and generous treatment for guests, okay? So how might you show hospitality? How can we be friendly to guests? By giving someone a gift? Very good. Everett, Freya, anything else? How can we be nice to our guests? Do we offer them things when they come to our home? What do we think? Maybe we offer them food or drinks or try to take care of others. So our junior high showed a lot of hospitality this week. On Monday, they went to Salem Soup Kitchen and they served food to people that were hungry. They also decorated placemats to help brighten people's days, and that made some people feel better. Some people even took the placemats with them when they were done eating. On Tuesday, they helped to clean Harbor House, and that's a place for families to stay if a family member is sick at the hospital, so they can stay right nearby. We made welcome bags with snacks and a drink and tissues to give to people. On Wednesday, they spent time with elderly people who live at Unity Cottages, and it's amazing the way that a few conversations and shared smiles helped brighten people's day. Our last work day was Thursday, and we went to a garden right in the middle of the city of Rochester and helped plant some new things and clean up the area. People even drove by and gave us a thumbs up for our good work. So right now, I want everybody who was on the work project for even just a day or so, stand up, and we're going to give you a big round of applause. You guys were awesome this week. Next, we're going to see a slideshow, so you guys can stay right up here, and if anyone else wants to come forward, any of our junior highs, you can come forward, and we're going to watch the slideshow of the week. So I thought it was a really amazing thing to see God's love in action throughout the week. Will you pray with me? Repeat after me. Dear God, please help us love each other as brothers and sisters. Help us practice hospitality with all who we meet. Amen. All right, you guys can go sit back with your families.
The first reading of the word comes from Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right, and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue, and do not evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved.
The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength or courage to renew. Do not I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. There is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do.
Our second scripture reading this morning. Familiar words from the Gospel of Luke. Now, as they went on their way, He, being Jesus, entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what He was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to Him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things.
There is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Well worn. That's how I would describe this story in Luke's gospel. One we've heard so many times. It would be an understatement to point out how much has been written about and preached on concerning these two women. Mostly to point out how Martha, with her knickers in a twist about her sister sitting there doing nothing while she assumes all the household duties associated with welcoming a guest into their home. We suppose that Jesus is drawing our attention then to the more important work of being with him rather than the busy work of home and church and just life in general. The pull of this interpretation is so strong that it has escaped scripture and entered into popular culture. So, for anyone who is watching Margaret Atwood's dystopian The Handmaid's Tale, you know that the servants are called Marthas. Except, what if that isn't what it's really about? Sometimes, perhaps you know what I'm talking about, we have these outbursts that really aren't at all about the situation at hand. I'm acutely aware of this fact as of late as our family prepares to make this move back to Michigan. There have been many days when one or both girls will just burst into tears about something, not being able to find a pair of shorts she wanted or hating her hair that morning. There's the sobbing and the stomping, and my favorite, the slamming of doors. And you know, in those better and more patient mothering moments, I can take a deep cleansing breath, center my own reactions, and focus on her. Can rub her back, offer a hug, and ask, "Is this really about your hair?" And she vigorously will nod her head, and I'll say, "Maybe you're just a little tired." That head nodding begins to slow. "Is this about moving?" And the head lowers and the tears flow harder. The outburst isn't about the hair. Just like this story really isn't about Martha feeling overwhelmed by the tasks of household chores and responsibility. Despite all the sermons that we've heard that pit one sister over the other, Mary over Martha, or one expression of faith over another, listening or doing, this story, these five short verses in the Gospel of Luke, are about so much more. When our translation of this story in Luke suggests that Martha was distracted by her many tasks, it's kind of like suggesting my children are just indifferent to moving. The Greek here indicates much stronger feelings. Martha wasn't just distracted. She's in an uproar of being pulled into a million different directions at the same time. This text is about more than a few household chores and preparing work. Martha had the work of ministry to do. That's the word that is used here to describe what Martha is doing, diakonos. It's close enough to that English word we use all the time, deacon. to begin to imagine what this might have meant. An all-encompassing calling that included everything from preparing meals and material support to the proclamation of the word, to all the ministry that falls under that job description, other duties assigned. Martha was doing the work of ministry. This is so important to emphasize because Martha wasn't simply upset that her sister just wouldn't get up and help her with the dishes. It's more likely that Martha was in an uproar over all the church work she was doing. She was completely stressed out because someone forgot to set up communion or set up the olives for the potluck. She was making sure the craft closet supplies were all set up for Sunday school in the fall. She's wondering who's going to distribute all the food that we collected over the summer for SWEM. She's making sure there are enough drivers for the senior high work project, wondering if someone was going to be there to meet the plumber, and making sure that all the homebound members had communion and maybe even a visit as of late. Perhaps this morning was even a perfect example. Perhaps she walked into her home and saw a mess that someone else had left and was busy trying to clean it before everyone came to church. All of that is important, essential work of ministry, and most of it probably went unnoticed, and that's what had Martha in an uproar. Maybe she felt something I occasionally hear spoken aloud in every church I've ever served, a sense that it's just a small group of people in the church who are doing all the work. Maybe she's starting to grow weary of it, even a little resentful. So I suppose on this day, the day we are hearing about, the day that made it into Luke's gospel, she had reached a boiling point, and she just saw her sister, Mary, just sitting there, listening to Jesus, not lifting a finger to help. Maybe her sister was just sitting there. Maybe Martha was feeling a bit tired. But maybe Martha was also feeling like she was alone in her ministry. And from her perspective, that was just really unfair. And we can tell that Martha had had all she can take, because in her outburst, she doesn't even take her concern right to her sister who's sitting there. She goes right over Mary's head, literally straight to Jesus. Lord, don't you care? My sister's left me with all of this work, and I'm doing it by myself. And I believe that Martha asked that question knowing that Jesus indeed cared for her and how she felt. She needed to be reassured, rub on the back, even a hug, some expression of care in that moment. And she needed Jesus to tell Mary to do the same thing by helping Martha get to the work of ministry, to get it all accomplished. Now, it's at this point, this sermon could go a million different directions. But I'm going to take us down a path of interpretation that offers just a slightly different perspective on this story. Because what if the frustration and exhaustion that Martha is feeling is really about her feeling stuck and overwhelmed in this either-or system of duality, where it is just one aspect of faith and discipleship that's better than another? We've always assumed, right, that when Jesus says that Mary has played the better part, well, he means that it's because Mary is quiet, contemplative in her faith. And that is better than action or doing work. Now, I'm pretty confident that most people who do the hard work of cleaning up kitchens or toilets, taking out the trash, transporting loved ones to doctor's appointments or kids to their various summer activities, y'all already know that your work is not glamorous or revered, often not even considered very important. And we've heard a million sermons how much better we would all be if we just slowed down, quieted our minds, meditated, prayed, read the Bible more. I don't need to preach another sermon that tells you that. I keep coming back to Martha's question. Do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work myself? And it sticks with me because Jesus and Luke, they don't answer our question about what is better, work or contemplation. It instead reveals a much larger answer about the how of service. Martha points out that she's going about this work of service or diakono alone. And up to this very moment, Luke uses that word diakono to describe the work of hospitality as something primarily women do. To really get at the power of Jesus' response, we also need to use our imaginations for just a moment about who else might be in the house. The rest of the disciples. Right there in verse 38, it says, as they went on their way, Jesus and the disciples from the verses prior, when the sisters welcome Jesus into their home, I am guessing that they don't leave the disciples on the doorstep. That would be against every cultural norm for practicing hospitality of the time. Of course, they'd all be welcomed in. And by the sounds of things, well, they weren't exactly bending over backwards to help Martha. And why should they? Gender norms of the time, many ways have not changed, assumed that just women would take care of the work of service that needed to be done. The culture has certainly set up the expectation so that the men are conditioned not to even bother to help. There is a significant gender component to this story. We can't ignore that. And I believe there's more to it than that. Because something interesting happens after this passage in Luke. The gospel writer introduces a broader term for service and hospitality where both men and women are enjoined in diakoneo. There are no more excuses for anyone to be engaged in ministry of service alone. So we don't downplay that gender dynamic in this text. And part of what makes this text so incredibly powerful is Mary, in fact, and her position at Jesus' feet. This place was reserved for only male disciples. There's no doubt that Jesus here is breaking down gender barriers of the time, but for what? I believe so that a new pattern could be set for the life of the church, demonstrating that diakoneo is no longer something that one person, whatever those proper gender roles or age, too young, too old, whatever division we've come up with, is supposed to do. Service in community becomes an essential aspect of discipleship, not an add-on or a corrective to keep us humble, but an integral part of what it means
to seek and live into the kingdom of God. And as much as we'd like, Jesus doesn't go on to give us a manual of operations for how the necessary work is going to get done. Don't worry, the Presbyterians do a good job of putting those together. But the way the word diakoneo changes in the gospel seems to suggest that maybe Jesus' own ideas of discipleship changed and grew in this moment. That this work of being the church, being disciples who follow Jesus, changes and challenges our assumptions about God and about ourselves and about how we relate to one another. That this isn't a one-on-one sort of thing. To prepare, to serve, to eat, to learn, to worship, to give and receive hospitality at the table, here or in the fellowship hall or in the parking lot, or as we saw our junior highs doing at soup kitchens, and for many of us at marches and protests and parades, when we leave this table, we continue to both do and hear the word of God together. The heart of this passage is deceptively simple. And the church has been trying and trying again and trying again to live this out for 2,000 years. And I believe now in today's culture, it's harder than ever to do this. But to serve alone tears us apart. Serving together in community as the body of Christ is what this is all about. So even as we, pastor and congregation, begin new seasons of our ministry in different places, this sermon is for the preacher as much as it is for the congregation, as sermons often are. Wherever we go and however we do this calling that is ministry, none of us can ever do it alone. Thanks be to God.
time in worship where we share our prayers of joy and our prayers of concern together as a community. If you have a prayer of joy or concern, please raise your hand. Usher will bring a microphone over. Let us know who you are and what your prayer is this day.
Janice Bilalovic, I just like prayers for my niece who lives in Michigan. During Friday night storms, there was a tree that blew over onto their garage and house. It missed their bedroom window by just inches where they were sleeping, and they're all okay, but the house is damaged quite a bit.
Prayers for those who are suffering from the wake of storms that have gone through.
Janice Buettner. Joanne's not here today, but Joanne Vander's birthday is today. So
aww,
maybe if people would
happy
like to
birthday.
Give her a call or wish her happy birthday on Facebook, be nice to do. She's always so concerned about everybody hearing what's going on.
Prayers for Joanne Vander as she celebrates her birthday today. And also a prayer for Betty Blystone. Scott died last night, and we need to surround her and their family in prayers. The plans for the service are still forthcoming. It may be Thursday, but again, those will come together tomorrow. You can call the office on Tuesday to find out when the service will be. So prayers for Betty and their entire family.
Kate Stanford, I just asked for prayers. I have an interview this Thursday at the HEAL Collaborative at Strong. They work with domestic violence victims, so fingers crossed.
Prayers for you, Kate. Let us continue our time of prayer. Gracious and generous God, creator of all, birth giver of summer and sun and warmth, of green earth and blue skies and seas, we give thanks for the many blessings vividly on display, like a rainbow after a storm. You are gracious and generous, O God, creator of us all, pouring your love into Jesus, your steadfast promise of love, of hope to us and our faith. May we hear your words calling us to be your body together. Wonderful God, who is so merciful of each and every one of us, tend to those who grieve this day. We pray for the suffering of this world, of body and mind and spirit and heart. May your healing love embrace the pain, holding it with tender care. God, you take our worries and the brokenness of this world, and you heal it only as you are able to do. Speak now into our lives. Show us the way to be your love. And as Martha offers hospitality to the stranger, as Mary carefully listens to your word, as we all gather in the ways we are called to serve you, may we learn from our sisters to be your hands and heart, together in community, in this place and this world, now and always. Hear the words that we say together in worship as we are gathered, the ones your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now receive the morning offering.
Thank you.
Dear God, there is no church without its people. We are this church. We are all it means inside these walls and all it stands for out in the world. We dedicate these gifts freely given and gratefully received to the work of this congregation, building honest, caring relationships across all lines of difference, growing in spirit and searching for meaning together and apart, practicing compassion and working for justice. May these gifts and the work of our hands and hearts give power to all we stand for as a community of faith. Amen.
In fact, may Christ be in all that you say and all that you do and in all the ways that we are church together in this world. Go with your hearts filled with the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of course the courage that comes from the Holy Spirit that it takes to get up to do it again. Alleluia. Amen.